The town of Grimsby was unremarkable. A small, tight-knit community tucked away between thick forests, where secrets festered in the quiet. It was a place where life passed slowly, like the mist that clung to the ground in early mornings. But beneath its serene facade, something old and malignant pulsed just beneath the surface. A sickness that had been waiting, biding its time. It began with a child's death. Her name was Clara, a fragile wisp of a girl who never seemed to fit in. She was the kind of child that other children found strange, too quiet, too timid, with large eyes that always seemed to be on the verge of tears, and children, cruel as they can be, made sure she never forgot how different she was. Her tormentors, led by a boy named Sam Turner, found pleasure in her suffering. Their taunts echoed through the schoolyard, their hands shoving her into the dirt, laughter following her every stumble. But it was one cruel afternoon that things went too far. On that day, Clara was lured into the woods. They told her it was a game, that if she could reach the old tree by the edge of town, they would leave her alone for good. Desperate to end her torment, Clara ran. She ran until her lungs burned, until the sun began to set and the shadows grew long. But when she reached the tree, an ancient, gnarled thing that stood like a sentinel at the town's border, she found only more cruelty. Sam and the others were waiting. They shoved her, taunted her, called her names. She barely understood. In the heat of their mockery, a push became too hard and Clara fell. Her head struck a jagged root that jutted out from the tree's base. Blood pooled beneath her fragile body, staining the roots dark red. The children froze in horror, watching her convulse, her small form twitching as if something unseen were gripping her from beneath the earth. They fled, leaving her there beneath that cursed tree. Clara died alone, her blood seeping into the roots of the ancient tree, nourishing something deep within, something old, something patient. In the days that followed, Grimsby fell silent about the incident. No one spoke of Clara. No one searched for her. It was easier to forget, to pretend she had simply disappeared into the woods like many children before her. But the earth remembered, and the tree remembered. Then the first whispers began. It started in the Turner house. Sam's parents noticed strange things, flickers of movement at the edge of their vision, objects not where they had left them, faint whispers at night when the wind was still. They thought it was grief, that the boy was acting out after the accident. But it wasn't long before the whispers grew louder. They found Sam in his bed one morning, his eyes wide open, and his mouth twisted in a silent scream. His skin was pale, mottled, and around his throat were bruises in the shape of thin, childlike fingers. It spread from there. Other families began to notice oddities, strange symbols carved into trees, strange voices that filled their heads when they tried to sleep. Children were the first to notice the change in their parents. The adults started acting different. First, it was subtle. They forgot things, like where they'd left the keys, or the names of distant relatives. Then it escalated. They began to mumble to themselves, their skin taking on a sickly pallor. Small lesions formed along their bodies, which they would scratch at absent-mindedly until they bled. The adults withdrew from each other, locking themselves in their homes, the air thick with tension and fear. It wasn't long before the whispers returned, louder now, impossible to ignore. They spoke of the tree, the one on the outskirts of town, where Clara had died. The adults were drawn to it, as if by some invisible thread. They would leave in the dead of night, wandering through the woods like sleepwalkers, their eyes glazed and unfocused. Children watched in terror as their parents, one by one, succumbed to the lure of the tree. By the time the adults returned, they were no longer themselves. Their bodies had changed in grotesque ways, skin sagging unnaturally, their mouths stretched into perpetual grins, too wide for their faces. Fingers elongated and knotted like the roots of a cursed tree. Their eyes glowing faintly with a sickly, otherworldly light. They had become hollowed versions of their former selves, puppets of some unseen force. At night, their laughter echoed through the town, an eerie, high-pitched cackle that seemed to come from everywhere and nowhere at once. They no longer spoke in human words, only in a series of clicks and wet sounds, like the rustling of decaying leaves. The children, the few who had not yet been taken, hid in their homes, watching as their parents' bodies twisted and contorted, becoming monstrous reflections of the people they once loved. Some tried to flee, but the woods were thick with shadows, and the ghosts of the trees, the chaos spirits themselves, hunted those who dared venture too far. These ghosts, born from Clara's blood and fed by the town's collective guilt, reveled in the suffering they inflicted. They whispered madness into the ears of those who still resisted, twisting their thoughts, warping their minds until there was nothing left but fear and despair. One boy, Ethan, had managed to survive longer than the others. He had always been quiet, a shadow in the background, much like Clara had been. He had seen what happened to Sam, to the others, and he knew the town was lost. His parents had been among the first to change, and he had watched helpless as their bodies twisted and their minds crumbled. Ethan had a plan, though. He had heard stories of the old tree, the one where Clara had died. And he believed that whatever curse had been unleashed could be ended there. If he could just make it to the tree, perhaps he could find a way to stop the Chaos Coasts, to break the connection between the spirits and the town. One night, under the cover of darkness, Ethan set out. The streets were empty, but he could hear the laughter of the transformed adults in the distance. Their bodies moved in strange, jerky motions, limbs bending at impossible angles as they danced through the town. Ethan shivered and pressed on. The woods were thick, the trees towering over him like silent sentinels. Every rustle, every snap of twig sent a jolt of fear through him. He could feel them, the chaos ghosts, watching from the shadows, their eyes glowing faintly in the darkness. But they did not approach. Not yet. After what felt like hours, he reached the tree. It was taller than he remembered, its gnarled branches twisting high into the night sky. The air around it was thick, heavy with the scent of decay, and there at its base was the root, the one Clara had struck when she fell. The ground beneath it was still stained with her blood, dark and sticky, as if it had never dried. Ethan knelt, pressing his hands to the ground, his fingers tracing the outline of the root. As he did, the earth beneath him began to shift. From the soil, something pulsed, something alive. The roots twisted, curling around his fingers like tendrils, and Ethan's heart raced. He could feel the spirit now, their voices filling his mind, a cacophony of whispers that threatened to overwhelm him. But among the chaos, he heard a familiar voice. Clara's. Her voice was soft, barely a whisper, but it cut through the noise like a blade. She told him what had happened, how the town had turned its back on her, how they had forgotten her, and how, in her final moments, something beneath the earth had answered her despair. A dark force, older than the town itself, buried deep beneath the root of the tree. Her blood had awakened it, and now it was feeding off the guilt and fear of the townspeople, growing stronger with each passing day. She told Ethan there was only one way to stop it. He had to give himself to the tree. Ethan recoiled at the thought, but the ground beneath him pulsed again, and he knew there was no other way. The chaos ghosts would never stop. Not under the tower was nothing more than a hollow shell, its inhabitants twisted beyond recognition. With a deep breath, Ethan pressed his hands to the earth and let the roots take him. As they curled around his arms, his legs, his body, he felt a strange peace wash over him. The voices in his head grew quieter, the chaos fading into the background. The last thing he saw before the darkness took him was the tree's bark splitting open, revealing a mass of writhing, pulsating roots like veins beneath the skin. Then, silence. The next morning, the town of Grimsby was quiet. The adults, those who had been transformed, were gone. The children, those who had survived, awoke to find the streets empty, the air still. The woods, too, were silent. The tree standing tall and unmoving, as if nothing had ever happened. But at the edge of the town where the cursed tree stood, something had changed. The roots, once gnarled and twisted, had receded into the earth, and at the base of the tree, where Ethan had knelt, there was now a single bloom, a blood-red flower, its petals soft and delicate, glowing faintly in the morning light. The children never spoke of what had happened, and the town, much like it had with Clara, chose to forget. But the tree remained, its roots deep, its hunger eternal, waiting for the next soul to free its darkness. And somewhere in the silence of the woods, the chaos ghosts still whispered, biding their time. 10 years later, the town of Grimsby had faded from memory, its name erased from maps and its dark past buried beneath layers of soil and silence. The forest, thick and tangled, grew wilder around the abandoned town, but something deep within the earth was stirring once again. The cursed tree roots, once content to stay confined to the soil, began to spread, snaking outward through the ground, pushing deep into the veins of the land. And then they found the water. Far beyond the borders of the town, a new sickness began. Villagers miles away report the strange tastes in their water, animals dying inexplicably, and people growing ill with bizarre flesh-eating infections. None realized that the source was an old, forgotten town, where the roots of an ancient and malignant tree had begun to bleed into the earth. It wasn't long before three friends, Kara, Lucas, and Jake, unwittingly found themselves on the path to Grimsby. The three teenagers were explorers of sorts, drawn to the dark stories of abandoned places and ghost towns. They had read about Grimsby in an old, dust-covered book in the local library. Most of the pages had been torn out, but what was left intrigued them. Rumors of a place where everyone had disappeared overnight, the town left untouched, frozen in time. Kara, always the fearless leader, had suggested they go investigate. "Just a quick trip," she said. "It'll be fun. Take some pictures, tell the stories back at school." Lucas was reluctant, but Jake was excited about the idea of finding something truly terrifying. And so, on a warm, muggy afternoon, the three of them ventured into the woods, armed with only their curiosity, a flashlight, and a vague sense of where the forgotten town lay. After hours of trudging through thick undergrowth, the trees parted, and there it was. Grimsby. The town was a ruin of what it had once been. Buildings slumped inwards like broken bones, windows shattered, doors hanging off their hinges. The streets were choked with weeds and vines. The silence, so profound it pressed against the eardrums. But the most unsettling thing was the smell. A thick, coppery scent that hung in the air, mixing with the damp rot of decaying wood and stagnant water. As the group stepped into the main street, something in the atmosphere shifted, as though the town itself had become aware of their presence. Kara was the first to feel it, a deep unease crawling beneath her skin, a prickling sensation that made the hair on the back of her neck rise. "We shouldn't be here," she muttered, her voice uncharacteristically shaky. Lucas nodded, his eyes darting around the abandoned storefronts. "Something's wrong. We should leave." But before they could agree on a plan, the ground beneath them seemed to ripple. A low, rumbling groan emanated from beneath the earth, and in that moment, the town came alive. The roots, they burst from the ground like tendrils, slithering across the cobblestone streets with a life of their own. Lucas yelled and darted back, but the ground split between them. A massive, gnarled root erupted, forcing the trio apart, separating them in different directions. "Run!" Kara screamed, but it was too late. Each of them was flung into a different part of the town as the roots writhed like snakes, weaving a grotesque barrier between them. The old, forgotten houses stood ominous and silent as the chaos unfolded. Then, as quickly as it had begun, the ground stilled. The roots withdrew, disappearing beneath the earth once more, leaving the town looking as dead and deserted as it had before. But now, Kara, Lucas, and Jake were alone. Kara's horror. Kara stumbled through the crumbling streets, her heart pounding as she tried to find her friends. The air was thicker here, oppressive, as if something was pressing down on her from all sides. She could hear faint whispers on the wind, voices that didn't belong to her friends. Rasping, distorted voices that seemed to come from beneath the earth. She stopped in front of a large building, once the town's church. Its windows were shattered, and the door creaked open on rusty hinges. Something drew her inside, a morbid curiosity, or perhaps the ghostly pull of the voices. The interior was a rotting husk of its former self. Wooden pews, covered in black mold, had splintered and collapsed. The air was thick with the stench of mildew and decay, but it was the altar that held her gaze, more specifically, what lay on the altar. A corpse. Or what had once been one. Its skin was bloated and grey, stretched taut across a malformed skeleton. Its face was a nightmare, the flesh sagging in odd places as though it had been half melted. Hollow eye sockets stared up at the ceiling, and its mouth had been wrenched open unnaturally wide, the jaw unhinged as if it had been frozen in the middle of a scream. And then it moved. Kara gasped, stumbling backwards as the corpse shifted, its limbs cracking and popping as it sat upright. The grotesque grin on its face widened impossibly, the skin around its mouth splitting as it twisted toward her. Its bones jutted out at wrong angles, the arms too long, the fingers too sharp. The whispering grew louder, flooding her ears, and she realized with dawning horror that the voices were speaking to her, beckoning her closer, beckoning her to join them. The corpse lurched forward, its fingers scraping along the floor, leaving trails of blood and rot. Kara screamed and ran, The grotesque creature shambling after her, its joints snapping and popping with each unnatural movement. Lucas's horror. Lucas found himself near the old schoolhouse. He had always hated schools. The structure loomed over him, casting a long shadow that made the air grow colder. The playground was still there, rusted and broken, the swings swaying gently in the wind, as though moved by invisible hands. He stepped inside, calling for Kara and Jake, but his voice echoed unnaturally in the hollow building. The air was thick with dust, and the smell of rot clung to everything. As he moved down the hallway, he began to hear something. A wet sloshing sound, followed by soft, childlike giggles. He stopped. Heart hammering as a small figure emerged from one of the classrooms. It was a child, or at least it had been. The little girl's face was a mask of decay. Her skin sloughing off in wet chunks, revealing muscle and bone beneath. Her eyes were sunken and black, her lips cracked and oozing. She held something in her hands, a small, grotesque doll. Its features twisted and misshapen, like a mockery of a human face. The girl giggled again and then, in a swift, jerky motion, twisted her head to look at him. Her neck made a wet, cracking sound, and her lips parted in a wide, grotesque smile. Her teeth sharp and jagged like broken glass. Lucas backed away, but the girl followed, her small body contorting. As she crawled toward him on all fours, her spine bending at unnatural angles, with every step, her body made sickening, wet noises, the skin peeling away, revealing the raw muscle underneath.
"Play with me,"
she rasped, her voice like the scraping of nails on chalkboard.
"Play with me forever."
Jake's horror. Jake had stumbled into the town square, where the old fountain stood, filled with dark, brackish water. He approached it cautiously, his reflection distorted in the murky liquid. But as he stared, the water began to ripple. Then, a hand broke the surface. Jake screamed as a corpse pulled itself out of the water. Its flesh bloated and discolored, the skin splitting open to reveal festering wounds. Its eyes were clouded over, but its mouth twisted into a sneer as it crawled toward him. The thing was wet, the water pouring off its body in thick, oily streams. Its hands were skeletal, the flesh barely clinging to the bones. And where its fingers touched the ground, the stone hissed and bubbled as though corroded by acid. As Jake backed away, more figures began to emerge from the water. Dozens of them. Their bodies bloated and deformed, their faces barely recognizable as human. Their skin was mottled with dark patches, the tissue sloughing off in chunks as they moved. The air was filled with the smell of rot and decay, and Jake gagged as the creatures dragged themselves towards him, their mouths opening and closing like fish gasping for air. Suddenly, one of the corpses leaped at him, his hands wrapping around his throat with surprising strength. Jake struggled, but its grip tightened, and he could feel its cold, wet flesh pressing against his skin. The smell of decay filling his nostrils, the thing's eyes, wide and bulging, bore into his, and for a moment, Jake could see the chaos ghosts behind them. Something ancient, dark, and hungry. The ghosts had returned, and the town of Grimsby was alive once more with horror. But as the chaos reigned and the children faced their personal nightmares, help came from unexpected places. the children of Grimsby Past. Kara, Lucas, and Jake each felt a subtle change in the air, like the weight of the oppressive darkness had lifted, if only slightly. It started as a whisper, a soft, childlike voice cutting through the noise of decay and death, then a light touch, like the faint brush of fingers guiding them forward. In the chaos of her flight, Kara caught a glimpse of a figure out of the corner of her eye. It was a girl, no older than 10. With wide eyes and a pale face, her dress was tattered, her hair limp and wet as though she had just crawled out of a grave. But there was no malice in her expression. Instead, her eyes held a sadness that ran deep. Kara recognized her instantly from the stories. "Clara, follow me," Clara whispered, her voice trembling but urgent. "I can help." Kara hesitated, her instinct screaming to flee, but the monstrous corpse behind her was closing in, its grotesque body contorting and snapping as it crawled after her, pieces of flesh slapping off with each motion. With a deep breath, Kara nodded, and Clara turned, darting towards the back of the church. Lucas heard a similar voice, though faint, as the decaying child crawled toward him, her spine bending in horrific angles, her voice rasping for him to play forever. Something tugged at his shirt. He looked down and saw another child, one he didn't recognize from the stories, but a ghost all the same. His small face was streaked with mud, and his eyes gleamed with an unearthly glow. But like Clara, his expression was mournful. "This way," the boy said, "before it's too late." Lucas didn't need to be told twice. As the twisted, grotesque girl reached for him with her elongated fingers, Lucas turned and sprinted after the boy, their footsteps barely making a sound as they fled deeper into the schoolhouse. Jake, meanwhile, struggled in the clutches of the waterlogged corpse, the icy grip around his throat tightening. The creature's bloated body leaned in close, its decaying face inches from his, water gurgling in its lungs. But then he felt something. Small hands pulling at his shoulders, tugging him backward. Through his panic, Jake could see them, two ghostly children, their faces half hidden in the fog that clung to the town. They tugged harder, and with a desperate burst of strength, Jake managed to wrench himself free of the corpse's grip. The bloated thing let out a guttural hiss. But before it could attack again, the children led Jake away through the twisting alley of Grimsby. The town comes alive. As the three friends were led deeper into the ruins of Grimsby, the town began to stir in earnest. The roots of the cursed tree spread further, weaving through the cracked streets, bursting through the walls of buildings like veins through decaying flesh. The ghosts, those same chaos spirits that had once taken the adults, stirred within the town's decimated populace, seeking new vessels. The corpses of the townsfolk, long dead and left to rot, twitched and convulsed as the chaos ghosts entered them, twisting their bodies into horrific parodies of what they had once been. One man, his chest cavity sunken and ribcage exposed, dragged himself across the ground, his head lolling unnaturally to the side as he laughed, a high-pitched, maniac sound that echoed through the empty streets. His fingers were gnarled into claws, the skin stripped away to reveal wet, glistening muscle and bone. A woman, her torso bloated and grotesque, staggered through the town square, her body covered in lesions that wept black fluid, her eyes, milky and blank, rolled in their sockets, and where her lips should have been, there was only a ragged hole, the skin torn away to expose her gums and teeth. The ghost had turned the town into a living nightmare, reanimating the dead, their bodies twisted and corrupted by the same malevolent force that had overtaken the adults a decade ago. Inside the church, Kara and Clara ran through darkened corridors until they came to a stop in front of an old, decaying door. Clara glanced back at Kara, her wide eyes filled with fear and sorrow. "You have to stop it," she whispered. "The tree, it's spreading again. It's in the water." Kara's mind reeled as Clara pressed her small, translucent hand against the door, pushing it open. Inside was a hidden chamber, and at its center, a horrifying sight. There, growing from the cracked stone floor, were roots, thick, gnarled, and pulsating with life. They slithered across the walls, stretching upward like the fingers of some grotesque hand. From the center of the roots, a blackened heart pulsed, each beat sending ripples of corruption through the tree's roots and into the earth. Clara's voice trembled. "If you don't destroy it, the tower will consume everything." But as Kara stepped closer, the roots moved. They lashed out, wrapping around her legs, pulling her towards the dark heart of the corruption. The floor split open, revealing a gaping chasm beneath her. Filled with the writhing bodies of the reanimated dead, hands reaching up, fingers twisted and broken, their mouths opening and closing in silent screams. Kara screamed, thrashing against the roots as they pulled her closer to the heart. Lucas's escape. Lucas, meanwhile, had followed the ghostly boy to the far side of the schoolhouse, where the air was thick with the stench of rot and mildew. They passed a classroom filled with the dead, children's corpses twisted together in unnatural shapes, their small bodies fused into a grotesque mass of limbs and bone. Their eyes, hollow and black, followed Lucas as he passed, their mouths twitching with an eerie, silent laughter. He gagged but pressed on, the boy pulling him forward with urgency. "Why are you helping me?" Lucas managed to ask, his voice shaking. The boy didn't look back, but his voice was soft and full of sorrow. "Because we didn't have anyone to help us. We were forgotten. But you can escape." But just as they reached the exit, the floor beneath them split open. Roots burst through, and from the depths crawled the decaying body of one of the teachers. Her neck was broken, her head twisted at an impossible angle, and her body dragged itself towards Lucas, its fingers scraping against the wood, leaving trails of blood and rot. "Leave while you can," the boy cried, shoving Lucas towards the broken window. Lucas didn't hesitate, diving through the shattered glass just as the grotesque teacher lunged. Jake's final stand. As Jake stumbled through the alleys, his ghostly companions guiding him, they arrived at the old general store. The windows were smashed, and the door hung off its hinges, creaking in the wind. Inside, the shelves were overturned, and a thick layer of dust coated everything. But as Jake entered, the store came alive. The corpses of the townsfolk began to move, bodies hanging from the ceiling like grotesque marionettes, their limbs twisted and contorted into unnatural positions. Their eyes glowed with an unholy light as they dropped to the floor, their mouths opening in a chorus of guttural, gurgling sounds. Jake backed away, but the corpses surrounded him, their hands reaching out, their fingers elongated and sharp. The ghosts of the dead townsfolk, their chaos spirits now controlling these bodies, wanted to pull him into the madness. But the two ghostly children with Jake stepped forward, their hands raised as if to protect him. "Go, now," they cried. "We'll hold them off." Jake didn't want to leave them, but he had no choice. The possessed corpses lunged, and Jake sprinted towards the back of the store, barely escaping as the grotesque animated bodies collided with the shelves behind him. The heart of the corruption. Kara, Lucas, and Jake were reunited at the edge of town. They finally found their way, the ghostly children still lingering near them, their presence faint but steady. But the root of the cursed tree had spread far beyond Grimsby now, reaching deep into the earth, infecting the water supply, and turning the town into a living nightmare. "We have to destroy the heart," Kara said breathlessly, recounting what Clara had told her. It's the only way. But as they approached the old tree at the edge of town, they were met with the full horror of Grimsby's corruption. The tree had grown taller and more twisted, its bark blackened and covered in gaping wounds that oozed thick, dark sap around its base. The corpses of the townsfolk, animated by the chaos ghosts, stood, their bodies bloated and broken, their eyes glowing with an unnatural light, their mouths twisted into grotesque grins as they lurched toward the children. The roots of the tree lashed out, wrapping around their legs, pulling them towards the heart of the corruption. But the ghostly children, the souls of those who had died in Grimsby's first wave of terror, stood beside them, their small hands growing with a soft, ethereal light. Clara appeared once more, her wide, sorrowful eyes locking onto Kara's.
"Destroy it," she whispered, "before it's too late."
Kara, with Lucas and Jake beside her, raised the rusty shovel she had found near the old shed. It was the only weapon they had, but something told her that the tree's grotesque heart, pulsing and oozing at the center of the chaos, was vulnerable. She could feel it. Clara and the other ghost children stood silently nearby, their faint, translucent forms watching intently as their fate depended on what the living would do next. The roots around them slithered like serpents, each movement causing the ground to tremble and to crack. Kara took a deep breath, her hands trembling, and stepped toward the gnarled base of the tree where the heart was embedded. Behind her, Lucas and Jake stood guard, their eyes darting nervously between the advancing corpses and the towering tree. The reanimated bodies of the townspeople were closing in, their rotting forms jerking and spasming as the chaos ghost twisted them into more horrifying shapes. One of the corpses, a woman, whose face had melted away, leaving only raw, sinewy flesh, reached for Jake, her bony fingers scraping his arm. "They're coming!" Jake shouted, swatting at the disintegrating hand as the woman let out a low, guttural laugh. Kara plunged the shovel into the thick mass of roots at the tree's base. Black, viscous fluid sprayed out. The smell of rot intensifying as the shovel dug deeper into the tree's pulsating heart. The roots reacted violently, lashing out at her legs and wrapping around her ankles, pulling her down into the cold, wet earth. "Kara!" Lucas yelled, rushing to her side, but a massive root lashed out and knocked him to the ground, sending him sprawling into the mud. The corpses drew closer, their disfigured bodies dragging themselves forward, arms stretching towards the three friends. Jake kicked away a skeletal figure, but it only caused the corpse's bones to crack and snap back into even more unnatural shapes. The chaos ghost inside it grinning through the hollowed sockets. Kara felt the roots tightening around her, pulling her deeper into the earth. But Clara's voice came again, soft and insistent, cutting through the madness. "You have to destroy it. You have to stop the tree." But with every ounce of strength she had left, Kara gripped the shovel, using its blade to hack at the roots that gripped her ankles. Her muscles screamed in protest as the shovel struck the heart of the corruption once more. This time, the trees let out an unnatural, ear-splitting screech. A sound so horrible, so otherworldly, it seemed to come from the very ground beneath her feet. The earth trembled and the air filled with the sound of cracking wood and tearing flesh. The tree was dying. The corpses froze in place, their heads twitching violently as the chaos ghost inside them screamed in unison. The bodies began to convulse, their skin splitting apart, revealing the writhing, corrupted forms within. One by one, the possessed corpses crumbled to the ground, their limbs folding inward as if consumed by the very darkness that had brought them back to life. "Kara!" Lucas reached her, pulling her free from the grasp of the dying roots just as the earth beneath the tree began to collapse. Together with Jake, they dragged her away from the tree's base as the roots shriveled and blackened, retracting into the soil like a dying beast. The heart of the tree gave one final pulse, sending a shockwave through the ground before it collapsed in on itself, The thick, dark sap that had oozed from it evaporated into the air, and the oppressive weight that had hung over the town lifted, leaving behind only silence. The aftermath. The ghost children watched as the tree's death unfolded, their faces solemn, their eyes reflecting both sadness and relief. Clara, her small frame barely visible in the dim light, approached Kara.
"Thank you,"
she whispered, her voice fragile but filled with gratitude.
"You saved them. You saved us all."
Kara, panting and covered in mud, looked at Clara with tears welling in her eyes.
"I didn't do it alone. You showed me the way."
Clara smiled, a fleeting, ghostly smile that barely reached her lips.
"We were forgotten once, but now we can rest."
One by one, the ghost children began to fade, their translucent forms dissolving into the air like mist. As they disappeared, the town seemed to exhale, the tension that had gripped it for so long finally releasing. The once cursed earth now lay still, the dark presence that had haunted Grimsby for over a decade finally extinguished. The sun was just beginning to rise when Kara, Lucas, and Jake emerged from the ruins of Grimsby. The air was cool and clean, the morning mist swirling gently around their feet as they made their way through the forest, leaving the decimated town behind. The twisted, grotesque faces of the reanimated corpses still haunted their memories, and the scent of rot and decay lingered faintly in their nostrils. But they had survived. The root of the cursed tree had withered, its corrupting influence purged from the earth. The chaos ghosts that had once held the town in their grip were gone, banished by the sacrifice of the very children the town had once betrayed. As the trio walked in silence, their thoughts heavy with the horrors they had witnessed, Lucas spoke up, his voice small and shaky.
"Do you think it's really over?"
Kara looked up at the sky, the first light of dawn breaking through the trees.
"I hope so. I think Clara and the others..."
She paused, her voice catching.
"They're free now. Maybe the town can finally be at peace."
Jake, still shaken by the night's events, nodded.
"We should never have come here. That place, it's cursed."
"No,"
Kara said quietly.
"It was cursed. But now it's just the memory."
They continued walking, the sun rising higher, burning away the remnants of the mist as they headed back towards the world they knew. Behind them in the ruins of Grimsby, the cursed tree lay dead, its roots rotting in the earth. The town, once filled with darkness and chaos, had fallen silent. And though the spirit of the children who had been lost would never return, their presence lingered in the air, a quiet, watchful peace that settled over the land. Grimsby would be forgotten once again, its horrors buried deep within the earth. Some tragedies never truly fade, and the roots of evil, though cut down, always have a way of growing back. The end of the Blood Root Curse. Now, for my Patreons, I've got a separate section that goes through with an epilogue that highlights all the different creatures in high detail. It goes through all the creatures that the three kids witnessed, what they look like, how they died, and how they kill their victims. My own version of an SCP with my own content. An example would be the Greaves children, aka known as the Wailing Twins. Method of death, entrapment, and evisceration. So, if that's something that you would like to read and learn more about, support the channel like these lovelies do for as little as $1 do. And I hope you enjoyed my very own horror story to keep you up at night. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.